think all of us growing up had classes or experiences with the teachers that they didn't enjoy very much. And when I went to college, I went on a vocal performance degree, and there was one class in particular that I hated. And I didn't really appreciate why we had to go through this torture every single week, two times a week, when it came to learning our craft. But I also realized after the fact how much that has helped my photography business. And I want to share this story with you today. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. All right, for those of you who don't know or who haven't listened to the podcast for very long or are new listeners, I have shared in the past that my actual training when it comes to what I went to school for and everything is in vocal performance. I'm a classically trained musician that has traveled all over the world singing, and my voice part is a high soprano in most, how would I describe this? Most proficient in classical music, I'll say. I guess that's the best way for me to describe it. So I'm a classical vocalist, and that means I can get up and I can sing in lots of different languages and lots of different styles and everything like that. But I sound like an opera singer. So even when I'm trying to sing pop music or sing along to the radio or anything like that, it just kind of sounds ridiculous. It sounds like an opera singer, right? It's what I'm trained to do. It's what I'm good at. It's what my body was made for. And so I went to school for that, and I sang all growing up. But when I was doing some of my classes at university, one of the classes that we had to take was called masterclass. And it was not the most fun class. Basically what this was, it was an advanced class, very small, maybe 12 students. And you got to go in and you were given arias by the instructor in different languages that were very challenging. And you needed to come twice a week and sing these pieces for the class and for her, and sometimes a visiting coach. And then they would pick apart everything that you did. It was embarrassing. It was hard. It was one of those things that no one liked going to. And for some reason, they scheduled it at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon. So come on, no one wants to go to a class to get ripped apart at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon, but that's when it was scheduled. And so every week we needed to show our progress on these pieces and then present them to the class and proceed to get ripped apart. And I hated that class. It was one of those things where most of the time, if you were lucky, you didn't leave crying. She was relentless in her critique. She was relentless in her demanding of professionalism. And at the time, it was horrible. So this is what would happen in a typical class. We would show up. She was a true diva, so she was usually a few minutes late, and she would come sweeping in with the accompanist. And then we would just kind of go in order for the songs, and we would go ahead and we would present what we had been working on over the week. And we had a selection, so we could choose out of two or three songs, different sections to present to the class. And the idea should have been that we present the things that are causing us the most problems. But because we didn't want to get ripped apart and humiliated in front of a class, we usually shared the things that we had been working on the hardest that were the most polished out of our repertoire for the week. And at the time, like I said, I really didn't get it. Right? We would be singing these songs. She'd stop you in the middle. And we were critiqued. Singers are critiqued on so many more things than, say, instrumentalists. Instrumentalists walk up to their stand. They put their music down. They have their instrument. They play and they leave. Now, we were critiqued on how we walked in, how we presented ourselves, how we introduced ourselves, what we were wearing, how our hair looked, different outfit choices. Then we would go to sing, and then we were critiqued on our language proficiency, our breathing, our phrasing, our musicality, and everything like that. So she had her way of being able to give feedback, which was usually the harshest. And then the class would be encouraged to give feedback as well. And thankfully, the class was much kinder to each other than she was. So it kind of gave us a break. When she was done giving her critique, then the class would go. Now, the idea with music school is the fact that we spent an incredible amount of time practicing. And when we're smaller and we're younger, you hear the phrase practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You got to practice so you can make it perfect. But the actual idea of the effectiveness of practicing is the fact that it makes permanent. So if you practice something incorrectly and you do it over and over and over, that is the way usually you're going to sing it or you're going to perform that task out when it really means something. So her whole thing was like, yes, you need to practice, but you need to practice correctly. The goal was always to become perfect, but practicing didn't get you there. It was the evolution of the practice, the steps of the practice that got you to that perfection. And it was a harsh way to learn. Now, 20 years later, or maybe 30 years later, dare I say, I appreciate that class because I realized that she wasn't trying to be difficult. She wasn't trying to give us, you know, collegiate trauma, so to speak, in our classes. She was trying and encouraging us to be better and push us past what we thought we could do in ourselves. And that's a lot of the philosophy that I take when I'm working with my one-on-one coaching clients is I know my coaching clients can do more. And most people have incredible, incredible potential, but they need someone to be able to pull it out of them and encourage them to go past that comfort level, go past what they thought they could do, to see the true potential and what they're capable of. And that was her job in this class. But here's the thing. How do you practice for business? I hear this a lot from my clients, like, well, how do I practice sales calls? How do I practice marketing? How do I practice all these different skills that I need to have to be successful in my photography studio? That is what we're talking about today. And I am super excited because I have some real actionable tips that are going to help you when it comes to practicing for your business. The idea of practicing sales seems kind of ridiculous because when you practice, you can do as much work as possible in the privacy of your own home. You can practice your scripts. You can practice your phone skills. But until you actually take them out into the world in front of someone, you don't really know how it's going to work. And I think that's what bothers people the most is the fear of that unknown. Like, what if it doesn't work? What if all this work that you put into it isn't really going to make a difference? Or what if it's still quote unquote wrong? So the first thing I think we need to do is realize that there's no real wrong in sales. There's just more successful and less successful sales, right? Because people speak with their pocketbooks about how effective you are at your selling techniques. If you're not very effective, usually your sales not going to be very big. But if you're very effective in your sales techniques, usually that means that that is going to reflect in the amount that they pay you for your services and your goods. So understanding the good, quote unquote, good part of sales is that the better you are, the more money you will make. And all of us are in business to make money. But how can you really dive in and practice your sales? So like I said earlier, we can practice around our office. We can practice around our home. We can practice on our spouse, and that's all well and good. But the true test comes when we're actually in front of a client. But there's a big, big cavern there between practicing in the privacy of your office and practicing in front of a client, right? How do we bridge the gap there so that we can practice? We can solidify these skills and so that we're really, really ready to go when it comes to getting in front of a client. The best way I think that you can do it, and sometimes, you know, it is the most awkward and embarrassing and cringy way to do it, is to role play. One of the best practices you can do is role play. And I've even done a little bit kind of with my clients, I've asked questions that maybe I haven't asked before to see what the response is and just kind of had a game with it. But I also have some clients who are very good friends of mine. And I've asked them, say, I'm working on something right now. I'm really working on some of my sales process and my sales technique. Can I take you out to coffee? And can I practice a few things with you? First of all, they're my friends. They love me. They care about me. But they're also my clients. So they've been through my process and they probably have some feedback and they probably have some things to offer me when it comes to how I relate with my clients. So inviting them out for a nice cup of coffee and realizing that I'm there to get better and growth is always uncomfortable, right? It helps me. And I get to spend some time with my friends and they feel good about helping me too. And, you know, I buy them lunch or buy them some coffee and it's all really well and good. So you need to be able to get past, to feel truly comfortable with this, you need to get past practicing in the privacy of your own home and start getting on the stage, so to speak, just like we had to do in that masterclass. Get on the stage, throw it out into the world, see what sticks, see what doesn't, see what people's response is. It's not always going to be a good response. Just like our professors was not always a good response. But it helped us learn how we could be more prepared when it really came time for showtime. Our showtime, the way I look at it, is our showtime is when we are in front of clients. So I want to be as prepared as possible when I go in front of a client so that I can make the skills that I've learned, the permanent skills that I have embedded in myself, I can present that to them and see if I get wild applause or a really big paycheck, or they walk out in the middle, you know, before intermission. Right. So can you see the comparisons I'm making between the two? I hope so. But before I continue with the next four things that will help you in this process, here's a word from Enphoto, our fabulous sponsor. One thing that I will not do with my clients is give them just a stack of images for them to store someplace randomly. I always provide with them some sort of storage box, and I love the options from Enphoto. The Folio Box is an ideal presentation and storage product. It's a handcrafted box, and you can pair it with a selection of prints that are either mounted or matted. And it has also a beautiful frame for a truly beautiful experience. You can also include the USB for their digital files, or you don't have to include that. It's purely customizable. It comes in a wide variety of colors, shapes, and sizes, and you definitely want to consider adding this to your product line today. And the best thing about it is that Enphoto offers you 75% off your first sample if you're a new customer. So head over to our show notes page to grab that discount today. All right. I cannot say enough good things about Enphoto services. I know you guys hear me say this every single week, but really, if you haven't taken advantage of that 75% off sample, you really need to do so. And you can access that through our show notes. So we talked about the importance of role playing when it comes to practicing your sales techniques. The next thing that you should do is every time you have a sale, every time you meet in front of a client, take, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, and reflect back on that experience of how you felt it was received. So what did you say? What didn't you say? And you can even record your sales sessions. I do that often. I record my IPS appointments. I record my sales conversations that I have with my clients. Of course, I let them know. And this is what I usually say. I say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'm so excited to show you your images through this appointment today. Would it be okay with you if I recorded this so that when it's all said and done, I can go back and see if there's any areas that I could improve upon when it comes to my customer service? Everyone says yes. Everyone has always said yes. And sometimes I just do it on my phone and I do it in a voice memo. Or sometimes if I'm on Google Meet or Zoom, I record those. But everyone says yes because everyone wants to be helpful. It's also been extremely helpful, I'm not going to lie, when sometimes maybe they've come back and said, I didn't say something, or I did say something, or they thought they were getting something for free, and I can go back and just reflect on that. I've never had to take those recordings and show them back to a client and say, see, you know, I said you weren't going to get this, or this isn't what it was. But it helps me clarify those maybe sticky situations that might come up. They don't come up that often, but if they do come up, it helps me go back and take a listen of exactly what was said and when, and then I can help form a reply to that. But I don't say, you know, back, remember when we met and I recorded that sales session and at 15 minutes and 42 seconds, I said this. No, I don't do that. But I have a record of it just in case, and I ask ahead of time. So by analyzing your performance, so to speak, you can go back and you can see what worked, what didn't, what a client responded to, what they didn't respond to, maybe how you phrased things. Did you stumble? Did you mumble? Did you repeat yourself too much? Did you get fixated on one part of the sales process without moving it forward? By recording it and analyzing it, that is going to be a huge, huge beneficial tool that you can use. And your sales process will become so much better if you analyze your performance. Now, there's a lot of other things that you can do when it comes to education to get better in your sales techniques and in front of your clients. And I call these kind of the passive things that you can do. And I think we need to remember every course you buy, every podcast you listen to, including this one, every book that you read, all of that where you're collecting all that information doesn't really mean anything unless you take that information and you apply it to your business and you take action. This year for me, it's all about radical action. I can listen to a podcast. I can read a book. I can take the course. I can get the download. But unless I take some piece of that and apply it and actually use it in my business with some action, it's not doing me or my clients any good at all. So you need to stop being so passive when it comes to the education that you receive and take that information and apply it. And don't be scared. Just go ahead and do it. And then once you do it, that's when you go and you analyze and you see how it worked and you say, oh, that worked. That didn't work. That felt right. That didn't feel right. Like, how is this going to work in my system? And always try to move forward. So the next thing you can do when it comes to perfecting or practicing when it comes to sales is practice your active listening. Listening is hard, which I say ironically, considering that you're sitting here listening to me speak to you on this podcast. But when you are having an interaction with a spouse, a child, a friend, a client, a barista, anything like that, our brain goes so fast that many times we're not listening to what the other person has to say. We're too busy responding to what we think that they're saying. We're too busy crafting a response in our brain to what we think that they're going to say. My husband and I do this all the time, and it isn't great for the relationship, I'll say. We get caught in what I call this washing, like the washing machine cycle, where we're all just like, we're dancing around like the topic, but we're not really talking about the topic because we're so busy worried about who's going to get their information out into the world and let the other person see our point of view. With clients, that's not a great pattern to be in. So you need to practice your active listening, and that takes concentration and time. Not everyone does this effectively, but great communication is the key to successful sales. It truly, truly is. So if you want to be great and get great numbers at selling and great numbers when it comes to your photography services, you need to be a good communicator. And listening is more important in the communication equation than talking. So you have to practice being a good listener. You need to practice the questions that you ask your clients. You need to practice asking open-ended questions. Every time you practice it, it's going to become better and better and better and better. But you need to take active steps. So how do you do that? Okay. When you're entering into a conversation or you're entering into a phone call with a client, remind yourself, truly listen. Put some reminders up around your house, whether it be on your mirror, on your laptop, on your desktop, on your phone, some post-its say, active listener, be a good listener. And then slow down when you're having conversations with people so that they understand that you are truly taking in what they are saying. There's a lot of things that you can do there. You can copy, repeat back to them what they're saying. You can make eye contact with them. You cannot be distracted, but truly being a great listener is what you want to practice. And you can practice it anywhere with your child, with your spouse, with your partner. Really, really honing in on those listening skills is going to be something that will serve you so well in many, many areas of your business and your life. And then once you're listening, when you're listening to someone, when it's your turn to respond, then you want to ask open-ended questions. You don't want to ask yes or no questions. They're a dead end. They're not going to help you in what you're trying to do. You want to ask open-ended questions so that they have to elaborate a little bit. And if they don't, say, what do you like better? Do you like the look of wall portraits or do you like the look of framed prints better? How does that work for you? And they might just say wall portraits or, you know, canvas prints. Awesome. Can you tell me the features that you like better of a canvas print more than a framed print? And ask them to elaborate and really listen to what they're saying. Because if you ask questions like that, they're basically telling you what they want to buy. Easy peasy, right? So the last thing besides you have your role playing, you have your passive listening, you have your analyzing your sales performance, and you have your effective communication techniques. The last thing that you can do is you can actually pay to attend sales conferences where you are in a room and they can be large or small. I kind of like the more intimate settings myself. And you can go in and through the course of those presentations, you'll be listening. Through the course of attending workshops, which I like these smaller workshops better, is the fact that you should have an opportunity to really practice all these things: active listening, better communication, asking open-ended questions. You should be able to listen to presentations, and you should probably do some role playing. Those things have all been part of the sales presentations that I have gone to, and they've been so beneficial. And the great thing is, when you go to these types of workshops, is you're practicing with strangers. They don't know that much about your business. They don't know much about what you do, but they're all trying to get better in one particular skill. Right? So practicing becomes permanent. So when you're going through all those things, you want to get better and better and better, which I think is something that we do naturally, right? If you're a musician like me and you're singing a path and you know that how you approach something isn't getting you the result that you want, every time you approach it, you're going to try something different until you find that magic formula. And I think we do that in sales too. We're going to know what's not serving our clients. We're going to know what's not serving our business. And so we're going to make little tweaks along the way. So practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if you're practicing these things, which I highly encourage you to do, never practice them the same way. Always be moving forward. Do something different. If you get stuck, try shaking it up a little bit. Ask a question a little bit different way. Turn a different ear and listen. There's so many little things that you can do to tweak this process so that you can get closer and closer to your goals. I really hope that with these tools that we've talked about today, that you can take some time and practice your sales technique, practice your phone calls, practice your sales presentations, practice your delivery presentations, come up with scripts if you need to. We'll be talking about that in a future episode, but really, really take some time to refine these processes. And the best thing about them, as they become more and more refined, you are going to become more and more confident. Practice gives you the gift of confidence because there's less that is going to go wrong. So back to my music career. Every time I was very well practiced, I wouldn't be as nervous. Now, getting on stage and singing in front of several hundred people can be very, very nerve-wracking, especially if you're doing it in a different language in front of an audience that is very, very well educated in the pieces that you're singing. These are not new pieces. I mean, the classical music repertoire hasn't changed for hundreds of years, right? If you're going to go sing a song from La Boheme, there's a good chance that a good majority of people in the audience know this song from La Boheme and know how it's so supposed to be performed, right? But I know that if I stepped on stage and my outfit was good and my feet felt good and my breathing felt good and I was very well practiced, I knew the language, I knew the phrasing, I knew the musicality and everything, it was going to be fine. And I have confidence stepping out into the spotlights. The most nerve-wracking experience that I ever had in front of clients or on stage were when I was not well rehearsed. I hadn't put in the practice time needed. I was worried about the language. I was worried about the phrasing. And that developed some mediocre performances. And it's happened on stage with my music. And it's happened, you know, what I call on stage with my clients, quote unquote, on stage with my clients in the sales room. If I'm not well practiced, if I'm not well rehearsed, if I haven't put in the time ahead of time, as soon as I step out on stage, step out into those spotlights, things don't go as well as I want them to. And it's the same thing that happens in business. So this week, I want to encourage you to practice. Find someone to be an accountability to practice with. If you have any questions at all, please, please, please reach out to me through Instagram at @TheDoriHowell. I'd be happy to help you walk through some things. And maybe even we can hop on a phone call and practice some things for your business. Thanks for joining me today. Thank you so much to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we will see you next time.